Hello, everybody. Good to see you. We're gonna start with number 176. One seventy-six. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amen. Did we want to sing a few songs, Pastor, first, or how to sing a few songs first? Or is that what we want to do? Okay. All right. We can just wing it a little bit here. We're going to sing number 275. So I better turn over here too. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. 275. Coming again, coming again. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all pass. Crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again. Coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Would you all stand? We're going to sing number 521, and we'll take an offering after this. 521. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity, Lord, to just get a little bit of what you've given to us back to you, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings, Lord, every day of our lives, Lord. We can just look outside our homes, Lord, our families,
welcome to our services tonight. I'm glad that Carol was able to make it. She came off down in here and found 8:05 closed. All the way from 9:05 to 54 out here. And she kept looking at this little direction finder on her car, and it kept saying, take 8:05. But 8:05 was closed, and it wouldn't give her an alternate route. But she finally made it. We're glad that she did. And tonight she's going to introduce herself to all of us and give us a preview, I'm sure, of Nicaragua. How many of you have been to Nicaragua? One? Anybody over here? You've been close? All right, that counts, I guess. Yeah? Close? All right. How many of you know where Nicaragua is? What hemisphere is it in? Does God know where it is? You think he does? You think there's some people down there that needs to hear about Jesus? All right. Well, Carol does too. And so with that introduction, I'm going to turn you loose and we're going to see what you got for us tonight. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Well, it is a privilege to be with you all tonight. As you said, the 8:05 was closed, and so I had a moment of fear and anxiety, and I got off on 54 and a GPS circle. But when GPSs decide that they want to go one direction, direction. They want to go the same way, and so I got off, and it wouldn't reposition me. And, sorry, do I need to move it down? Yeah. Move it down a little bit so it doesn't maybe ring so much. Oh, yeah, I'm good at that. I just start picking on things, you know. So I finally found a little button on my GPS that says, what part of the route do you want to get rid of? And I hit 8:05 and it said, okay, go 5. And I went, yeah, that's what I wanted all along. I was about 2 seconds away from I-5 and did not. Lord is good. He got me here. And there was an accident on 8:05. Off onto the 54, and there was traffic, but and I'm very thankful. I usually allow a little extra time, and the person I was with said, oh, it'll be real easy to get there. Oh, I should have had an extra half hour, then I wouldn't have been Well, I have been in Nicaragua for the last 3.5 years. I went over as a team missionary and served underneath Jason Tammy Rogers, who are veteran missionaries, and the Lord just blessed my life to be able to get down there. I love kids. Kids are my passion, they're my heart, and they're my calling. And as I went down there, I went down there specifically to help the Rogers with the children. And so I think I'm going to go ahead and start with my DVD, because it'll kind of show you some pictures, and then I'll just share what God has been doing through that. Make that a little bit clearer for you. That's too much. There we go. And I'm going to move over because I'm going to put the mic right down by this. There it comes. So that you can hear it. You know what the problem is? Yeah. It helps with the volumes up.
Okay.
Philippines, Pearl Elkins, and it is a privilege to share with you the ministry the Lord has called me to in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is a beautiful country that has endured many difficulties. From the rise and fall of the communist regime to economic hardship, this country is filled with hopelessness and despair. The family structure is complicated as well, which results in a large percentage of the women and children living in poverty and hardship. The spiritual darkness is even more pressing as a majority of the people are professing Catholics. This darkness produces a deep hollow void in their hearts, which in turn causes the people to look for ways to fill this void. However, the only way that this need can be satisfied is through repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior. To this end, God has called me to reach out to the children and women of Nicaragua. For the past 4 years, I have been working alongside veteran missionaries Jason and Tammy Rogers, who have founded the main church Iglesia Bautista Gracia de Dios. Through their vibrant ministry, countless people have been won to Christ, baptized, and trained in the Word of God. It is exciting to see the growth and the maturity of the believers, who in turn are starting new works. Currently, there are 4 new ministries being established under the umbrella of the main church. As I go forward, my ministry will be to support and further the women and children's ministries in all of our various outreaches. This will be accomplished through establishment of new children's Bible clubs, as well as continued education and encouragement of the indigenous workers as they minister to the children. Also, I will be establishing a mobile club that will endeavor to reach more rural areas. As I labor to further the gospel with the people of Nicaragua, would you prayerfully consider partnering with me in this ministry? Thank you.
The Lord was blessing when he called me to Nicaragua. I grew up in a good Christian home with parents that love the Lord, and from a young age I served the Lord, and I accepted the Lord as my own personal Savior when I was 4 years old. And I had started asking my mom, what does it mean to be saved? What does that mean? And so I remember my mom stopping everything. I mean, it just floored me. Mom just, she dropped everything and sat down with her Bible to explain to me what salvation was. And, you know, I was actually 3 at the time. But I don't remember beyond that moment. But what I remember is about a year later, and I was in church with my parents, and there was an evangelistic speaker, and he spoke about salvation, and the Lord convicted my heart. And I looked up at my daddy and said, Daddy, I need to get saved. And my daddy said, okay, go ahead. And he let me walk the aisle. He let me do it by myself. He didn't coddle me. And I went forward, and I explained to the pastor that I wanted to get saved. And he took me to the back. You know how you do it, you know. You take him to the back, you talk to him and everything. But, you know, I heard this story all my life. I knew that Jesus died on the cross. I knew that he rose from the dead. I knew the whole salvation. If you asked me, I told you the whole story. But what I realized that night is that my sin was why he died. And it became personal. And I accepted the Lord as my Savior that night. And I followed in believers' baptism not long after. And so I was privileged to grow up in a very strong Christian home with the Lord as my Savior from a very young age. And so as I followed the Lord, you know, he really steered me towards children. My dad had a love for kids. I started working with him in junior church. I was his bouncer. We all know what that means. We had a bus route, and we had some wild and fun kids. And so I got to help keep order in class for dad while he taught. And then I, slowly but surely, he started, you know, teaching me how to teach. And then all of a sudden, we start reversing roles. And I would start teaching while he was keeping order in class. And then we got to the point where we were co-teaching together. And then I started teaching Sunday school. And the Lord just kept me in children's ministry. And I had a love for the kids. And then through different means, one of them was the death of my father. Another one was work and some different things like that. I really felt like God wanted me in full-time ministry. And I knew God was going to send me out, but I was still at that point, you know, in life when maybe you've been a little bit too secure, you need to get out on the edge of being on your own. And so the Lord sent me to Missouri for a few years. And I worked in a mission organization called Friends in Action. You've never heard of them, and that's okay. They were just there long enough for me. And they were it was a good place for me to go. I'm a bookkeeper. And I went and worked at their mission office as their bookkeeper. And from there, I went to Nicaragua. And the first time I went to Nicaragua, the first thing I saw was the kids. And as I watched those kids, what just broke my heart is seeing these precious little ones that were hungry, dirty, unloved. And knowing that if it was my nephew, what would I do for my nephew? You know, I'd move heaven and earth to take care of my nephew, feed him, and make sure that he had everything that he needed. And here's these precious little ones that were needing someone to love them. And as I left Nicaragua, that was a short-term mission trip. But as I left, I wrote in my diary, I'm going back. I just don't know when. And so just a few years later, the Lord really started opening the door, and I was asking my pastor, and I said, Pastor, I really feel like I'm supposed to be in Nicaragua. And he said, well, let's call Jason and Tammy. My home church has supported them for quite a few years. And so he called Brother Jason, and he said, told him who I was and what I was wanting to do. And Jason said, oh, my goodness. Well, we've been praying and asking for a single lady that would come and help us with children's ministries. So God had laid it on my heart, and he had put the open door right there in their need. And so as I joined with BBFI, BBFI smiled and said, that's great, but you don't have a Bible degree. And I said, well, no, I have an associate's degree in accounting, but I don't have a Bible degree. And so they said, well, you know, you can go in as a teen missionary, but you can't go as a career missionary yet because you have to have a degree. And so after some counseling and praying about it, I decided to go ahead as a teen missionary. And I started with an online school. It started with Atlantic Baptist Bible College, and that one merged with Piedmont. And so I did all of my degree while I was there as a teen missionary. Finished up my degree, and I just actually got my degree in the mail when I got home at the mission office. I've cried when I saw that. I said, that was sweat, blood, and tears for that one, literally. But, you know, I got my degree. I learned my language. I'm not fluent. Someone asked, are you fluent? And it takes quite a few years to be a fluent speaker, but I can communicate, and that's good, and then I will continue to increase my language level. And then the Lord allowed me to work in the kids' ministry. And what we do and what I do is work with children's Bible clubs, which is where the children come in, and we feed them a lunch, and then after lunch, we teach them about the Lord. We have Bible story, game time, song time, craft time, just like what you would do in a junior church or an Awana club. And they come in once a week into the area where we're at, and they're registered, and they can come in, and that entitles them to come in and receive from that. And we've had very good success with these children coming. And so as I worked in this first club, it allowed me not only my language ability, helping me with my language, and but understanding the culture of the people, but it also helped me see the needs in the children's ministry, how I further help and be a blessing in the children's ministry. And so as I go back, I will continue in the same area with the Bible clubs. And what I'm going to be doing is working around through all of the Bible clubs, because we have the main church in Vidiamba, which is Gracia de Dios. And then off of that, there's four other works. And these are actually they're being run by national workers. And we have clubs in two. We had three, but we've had to kind of wait because they need more help. And so kind of like when I get back, we'll start that one again probably. And then and we're hoping to start in that one plus another area, and having the clubs in those areas. And so what I'll be doing is I'll be working through all the clubs where they don't have enough workers to help them have a club. And then in those that do have enough workers, I'll be there just to encourage them and to continue to do it, continue the education on teaching children and working with children. And then I'm also working administratively with Tammy. She and I talked about it, and she has the ladies' ministry and all the pastor's wife, and I have the kids' ministry, so I tell the kids' ministry materials, Sunday school, club, everything, and that's at my house now. And I gave her everything I had for the women's ministry, and I laughed and said, now how'd that work? I gave you one tiny box, and you gave me four crates, a file cabinet, and I have two bookcases full of Sunday school material. I said, I didn't come up with any of that. But, it's just my alley, because I just absolutely love to be busy and to be a part of the ministry and to do whatever I can to be a blessing to Jason and Tammy and to help them, because he's the church plant. He's the one that's pastor, and I want to be a blessing to them. And so, you know, I get to do a little of everything. I make floated coffees, to play the piano, help with music, you know how that goes. In a small ministry, you kind of get to do a little of everything. But the overriding and the most joy that I have is every time that I get to work with one of those precious children. And so through all of this, we also want to do what we call a mobile club. My phraseology. What that is I'm praying and asking the Lord for a van. And what I want to do with that van is I want to load it up with benches and lunch and all the things we would do to make a club. And then what we do is then we can go in. We don't need property. We can just roll in. I want to have it with speakers, so we can have a little Bible Spanish tape going with music. And we roll into the area with kids' music. And we'll work in the areas locally around the church where we're at. And my goal is to keep going a spiral, going out further and further and further. Rural areas. And so that's something that we've not done, but I really see it as valuable, because what I mean is it's hard a lot of times if you have property, if your club is someone's home, then if there's any problems, then we start having trouble having clubs there. And if we just have a van, we don't have to worry about it.
If something happens in rural meeting, isn't
yes, we can just move over across the other way. And just, it doesn't matter because everything's self-contained. But it also does something else. It keeps the people able to do what they need to do, the church planners, the men that are reaching out trying to start the church. It helps lift the burden off of them, of the children's ministries. And that's my goal, is to be a blessing to each and every one of them as they're trying to start new works and be the church planter, that I can take a burden off the shoulders and then help train workers. That's the other thing, is I'll sit under Tammy for a time or two, and then I'm going to take over the teacher trainers class.
And so the Lord
opened a huge avenue of ministry for me, and I have to say I love every minute of it. God has blessed, He's allowed me, and I feel honored that I can be there and I can serve the Lord. And, you know, and my brother, one day he goes, "Who would have ever thought you?" And I laughed and said, "Yeah, nobody would have ever thought that I would ever be a single missionary on my own in a foreign country serving the Lord. But, you know, with God, all things are possible."
Amen.
And I am there, and I am serving Him. I am learning the language, and I am able to do what He's called me to do. And that's just by the grace of God. So I want to just say thank you tonight to each of you. I am looking at Pastor, so do you want me to slow down or do you want to preach? I don't go for it? Okay. Well, let's do this.
You have some questions.
Sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I just kind
of
very good question. The political situation in Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega is really technically a dictator. He was voted in, but the opposition party is usually well squelched. And so, and the question of whether the voting ballots are very honest is another area of issues. So there's a lot of fraud and a lot of issues that go on with elections. So he is in power. He has not picked up the missionaries. He's not gone communistic. He's very socialistic. But he has not picked up the missionaries. He did the first time he was in power. And when he came back in, we all kind of held our breath because we didn't know what was going to happen. But he has not picked out any of the missionaries, and we have not, to this point, received any kind of persecution or any kind of indication that we're going to be sent out of the country. But, you know, he finagled the Constitution to allow him to run again, because of course the people want him to run, you know. So he is in power, and I don't anticipate him to ever go out of power. So unfortunately, I do not think people understand that, which in turn causes a serious issue, because, you know, if you don't understand what's going on, you can't take care of it. And so, but as far as any civil war, I really seriously doubt that Nicaragua will go back to war. So. Any other questions? Catholic opposition. You know, they do not give us opposition. Now, I'm quite sure if I was out and there was the priest or something like that, they might kind of give me, you know, a little bit. But for the most part, they kind of, I think, have a little bit of ecumenical view. And so, kind of like, so they just let everybody coexist. Now, like, if someone is very stout Catholic, they might not listen to us. And they might not let their kids come. However, they will not come go around, you know, like someone asked if they were throwing spells on, you know, because sometimes you have, like, the witch doctors and things like that. Or as part of the Catholic Church, they have some satanic stuff. And I haven't seen any of that. But they do control, because, like, when they have their festivals, they shut down the city. And we like to never, it's so hard to have church on those days. And we just dread it because we have to get Sunday school done and just run home, because otherwise we'll get trapped. and then they have a procession of their idol to the city. And then we come back and we can barely get in to church before they come through. And so we have to be at church really early and just to get through. And so it makes it very difficult. So the Catholics do give us, not opposition, but maybe obstacles to overcome. And but the religious flavor of Nicaragua is Catholicism or charismatic. It's kind of like either of the two, and it's kind of like I tried to figure out how would you go from Catholicism to the other, and then I got to thinking, well, charismatic is all about works, and that's probably why charismatic religions pop so fast, is because they're so used to the Catholicism work base that once you hear this, that fits right in their to their feelings because a work-based religion. I'm 100% sure if that's really true, but that's kind of what I've been thinking lately as I've tried to figure that out. Why do they go through that? So that leaves a lot of doctrinal issues for us to work through. So when we lead someone to Christ and work with them, then there's a lot of training that has to go into after that, because they've either been under Catholicism or some form of charismatic or apostolic, or there's several brands of their different worship that they have. But so it takes a lot of doctrinal issues to work through. But we're seeing people get saved, and we're seeing people grow, and you know, in the one club we saw 19 kids come to Christ, and I was excited. And those kids, you know, the one thing I got so excited about with the kids there is that they're serious. You know, it's not a flippant decision. It wasn't. They thought about it. They really thought about it. And they did not take it lightly. And when they did make a decision, you could see it in their eyes. They were ready. They yeah, I need to get saved. And I know in our Tequantepec club, we had seen 5 kids come to Christ. And, you know, the Lord is working in the lives of these kids. And I really believe, you know, the social structure of Nicaragua is it's a bad situation, because for the man, the homes are broken. They're usually just mom, children. There might be a dad, but he might be a part-time dad because he has another family, another wife, or a mistress, and more kids. And you never know how many he has, and it is a status symbol there. It's a sign of wealth. And so, unfortunately, you know what that does to the home life. And it leaves a lot of children hurting, angry, and uncertain in life. And so as we come through and we share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're seeing love. They're understanding love, true love, for the first time. And then what's really exciting is to see the Christians in the church, as they mature, and they start to show an example of a God at home to their friends and their family and their children. And so I'm really excited that, you know, someone was concerned about the, you know, teaching children and about some of the different things with home life. And I said, you know, we just need to get them saved. Once they have the Lord and the Holy Spirit in their life, they'll grow, and God will help them through every difficulty, every bad situation. Even not having enough food, you know, it's hard for us to imagine, you know, one meal a day. You know, a lot of those kids, it's one meal a day. And so you think, man, could I do one meal a day? No, I like three. And, you know, and then snack once in a while, too. And, but a lot of these children, they do have a hard life. But God is gracious. He does provide for their needs. And if we can teach them about Jesus Christ and they come to know the Lord as their Savior, that's the best thing you can ever do for a child. We can help them, and we do that. We have the manna clubs where we're feeding the children, and we're reaching out to them physically, but we reach them spiritually too, and that will make the difference in their lives. Any other questions?
How are you doing?
Okay. Yeah, Nicaragua, I'm in the about an hour from Managua, southeast of Managua. So if you look at Managua, I'm about southeast there, close to the Pacific side, Pacific Ocean, and then so about an hour down. So if you look at your map, you'll just drop down just a little bit and you'll see Bibiwamba. So it's a little cooler, thank the Lord. Managua is really hot. And Bibiwamba is hot and it's humid, but it's not like Managua. So it's just a little bit down. Any other questions? That was all. About 60%, 68%. I'm just under 70%. I was kind of bummed. I was 100% until I got my budget back. And I was at the mission office and we went through everything because I didn't know all my figures yet for like insurance and some of that stuff. And so I do need to raise an additional $1,500 a month. And that'll be mostly, I have what I need to live physically, you know, rent and all that. But everything now I have to raise the ministry part. And so I'm praying about that, to raise that up. So I appreciate your prayers and that. I'm on furlough just until January 14th. I was thinking about that and praying about it the other day, and the Lord reminded me that He put me in that time slot, so I'm going to just trust Him to take care of it, because I have to be back. My house, I have to change houses. It worked out just right that I have to be back in January, and the Lord just worked that out. I was last week, I've been praying about all this all the time. Lord, I need my house. I have to live in a gated area, in a secure area. And as I've been praying about it, I knew I was coming back right as my landlady is getting there and she wants the house back. And so the someone was contacting me and they had received a good and so they knocked the price down a couple hundred dollars and put it into my budget. When I go back, and so I get back on the 14th of January, we will get the contract put together and basically move by the end of January. So I knew that was my time schedule when God put it all together, and so I was excited because I have a house. I do have to live in a gated area. It's kind of hard for me. I would love to be able to live down, you know, you think live with the people, but even they would say, oh no, you cannot do that. Because it wouldn't be safe for me physically.
And so I have to be
driven in not too on a regular basis. And I would
physically need it. So
I have to keep in a guarded area. And so it's kind of interesting because at night they come out and they have their guns and everything and their whistles. I walk around your neighborhood and keep you safe. But if you have a good area where I'm living, and I'm actually in the same neighborhood as Jason and Tammy, so it's good because Tammy and I can just walk back and forth even at night. I can
walk over and we can have fellowship and walk
back and forth between each other's houses and not have to worry about it. So, and which was a lot of times what we do is when Jason's doing the guy's thing, we laugh while he's doing the guy's thing. We'll go over. It gives Tammy and I our time to have that girl time. And so the Lord is really blessed. Now, Jason and Tammy, their daughter-in-law and son have actually moved over there as well. Now, they're still under teen, and they'll be there for a couple years, and then I believe they have to come back and do some more schooling because he's working to become a physician assistant to use that in the ministry down there. And so, but it's exciting. I always knew that Jaron would be coming because you could just tell from his love. From Nicaragua. So the Lord is really blessed and we're getting a good team together. And I'm excited to see where God's going to take that because I'm really excited to see where my little mobile club's going to take me. It's kind of uncharted waters. But I'm really excited. I'm praying, if you could pray with me, about who would help me. I want a couple ladies, a couple national ladies with me. And then there's the question of whether I need a man in the club with me, or if, you know, or if I'll have a man in each of the different areas. Some of those areas, if we're going into an area that isn't in part of a church work, I might have to have a man just for security issues. And so we're still working through a lot of those details and just work it as it goes. It's kind of one of those things I can't figure it out, and the Lord reminded me I didn't have to. And so I like the plan. So I'm pretty organized, and so that was hard for me. But the Lord knows exactly who He's going to help me. So I'm really praying for that. Any other questions? Well, I want to say thank you again. It's an honor. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be with you all tonight. And it was an honor to be here and share with you what God's doing in my life and what I'm looking at doing, and as I go forward. In September, career missionary with the EFI in September. The 1st of September, I will actually have my commissioning service at my home church. And then on the 16th through 18th in Ventura, they will be having the national meetings there. And so I will be back into Ventura, California. And they'll go through all the questioning and all that, you know, all the things. And both to approve me as a career missionary. And I've already gone through the week of training. In July, the mission office has us come in and do our training. And so I'm just about there. I laughed. I said, I'm almost officially a missionary. I'm almost official. So the Lord is just blessing in my life. And it's an honor and a privilege to be with you tonight and to share what God's been doing. Thank you, Pastor.
It's a joy to have you with us. Appreciate you coming by and sharing your testimony with us and introducing us to the work that's going on in Nicaragua. The Bible says, and I've forgotten what chapter it is, that says, maybe Brother Brian, if you can't go to the mission field yourself, send somebody. What chapter and verse is that, Brother Bryant? I've heard that all my life, and I can't remember.
My recall is gone.
That the scripture says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I think it was man that added to that and said, if you can't go, send someone. That's a poor excuse. I wonder what the Lord is going to say when somebody stands before Him and comes out with something like that. In these last days, God is raising up some good missionaries. We have a lot of Bible colleges that are turning out some wonderful young people who love the Lord and have dedicated their lives to Him. And our prayers go out to them. We appreciate them. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. And I have an idea that some of us who are older, if we had it to do over again, we might consider living our lives more dedicated to the Lord, consecrated to His service. I appreciate what God has done in my life, but I'll tell you this. When it comes to missions, I remember years ago when Ralph McCoy was down in Mexico, I had the privilege of going down there and visiting with him on two different occasions. For a week each time. And when you go into a place like that,
There's just something about it that grabs a hold of your heart, isn't it? And if you're not careful, God is going to call you to be a missionary. Right? Yeah. That's the way it happens. You get there and you see the need, and you see the response. I stood in a living room of a house. The floor was covered with kids. The women sat in chairs, everywhere that they could set a chair, and the men stood around the walls and outside looking through the windows and this. And I preached through an interpreter. It's the only time I can remember ever doing that. And you've used an interpreter, I'm sure. You say something and then they say it in Spanish and then you forgot what you were going to say next because you were listening to them. You have to think about what you're going to say. But I remember that one service when the invitation was given. And I don't know what they told them, but the Lord spoke to somebody's heart and about five people got saved that night. And that's what I'm talking about. The Lord will call you. Wonderful. We're glad that you came tonight. We're glad that Carol came here to present the field of Nicaragua to us. And ours is a missionary church. I want you to know that. And we would be happy to have a part. I'm sure that everybody like that. What do you think?
Amen.
See there? All right. And we just appreciate again your being here with us. You want to spend some time out here on the West Coast?
I am on the West Coast. I'll be leaving tomorrow to San Jose. And then I come back to Carolina on
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming out our way and being with us in the service tonight. We're going to be dismissed, and I want you to hang around a few minutes, get acquainted with her, and let her know that you're going to be praying for her. Remember the Wednesday night service. We'll be studying the book of Deuteronomy. Have a wonderful study in that book. It's really rich. Rich spiritual truth. A joy to have you here tonight. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Gene Rice, would you dismiss our service tonight, please?
after when the building emergency occurs, and other part of the day, I get to see you every night. Thank you for your presence.